It's the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And like Tony said, when we are all together like this, this is really a wonderful experience. And so we're going to sing Arise Shine. For those of you who do not know, it's in number 8 in the book. Last night from Isaiah, behold, I will do a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Now just listen to that. Now it shall spring forth. Isaiah said that. Thousands of years ago, now it shall spring forth, he said. We're just singing this other song, Arise, Shine, for your light has come. Again, Isaiah is saying this. And it already has, and it already is. So what is happening now in the world, and we are part of this, an awakening. See, no condemnation, no judgment to anything. No judgment to any church, any religion, no judgment. But there is something happening now. See, what has happened, it's separated. All these beliefs that have been happening the last 2,000 years have still separated us. While Jesus said, I am in you and you are in me, we are one. There is no separation. So what is happening now is that today is a very wonderful day. You are not getting information, okay? When Mike, Tony, Kathy are sharing, you are not getting information. This is not like we used to be in school, you know, learn this from this world. You understand? We were having these books and we would be learning and trying to remember it and go over and over and over it. This is not the same. This is the Holy Spirit is drawing us and is teaching us. So today, open your heart. When you hear things that you've never heard before, don't worry about it. It's the Holy Spirit bringing you up higher. And so what is this doing? This is making now a oneness. Okay? Because we're all coming to the gate of righteousness where there is no separation. We are one. And we see as one. It says, Isaiah 52, they will see eye to eye. You know, and in the early days, you couldn't open your mouth when you believed something different. You'd have a great big and I've been there, done that. Arguments all about what I believed and what you believe. And here we are fighting and arguing, thinking that we know what God said. Till this morning, we don't know a thing. We know nothing. And we're not comparing, and we're not getting information. We're just opening our heart. Father, let it be unto me according to your word. We take our example of Mary. She was facing something new. She was facing something that was never heard of. What's it now? Gosh, God, let it be unto me. Like what we were hearing last night. And it's ongoing, you know what I mean? It's not a processing, it's an unfolding. And you know when Simeon, Joseph, Mary, and brought the baby Jesus to be circumcised, Simeon prophesied, and he says, I can go now. God promised him that he would not be leaving this planet until he had seen the Messiah. Mm-hmm. He said, now I can go, let me go. And he had the baby, and he said, this is going to be for a light to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
A
beautiful.
Jew prophesying something for the Gentiles? You know, that's already unheard of. So we are facing new things. And that is wonderful. It can be hard sometimes because we're struggling with the old beliefs, you see? But we are now to be set free from the old beliefs until we come to that true oneness that Jesus, he is the master, he is the savior. It's about time we start listening to what he has to say. You know, and not have our own opinions and ideas and doctrines and form all these great big things all over the world. So, you know, he said he is come for a light to the gen, and that's a light, what's light? So our seminar is acquaint yourself with the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness and you will have the light of life. What is it? What is it? It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, it's wonderful. I'm the happiest woman in the world. You know that? I really am. I know I am. I am. Of all these 9 billion, nobody can be happier. And why is that? Why is that? Because Jesus came for a light to the Gentile. I'm a Gentile. And for the unfolding, for the unveiling of. That's the Waymouth. And for the unveiling of. So what's happening to us? The veils are coming off. And we begin unveiling of what? For the unveiling of who we truly are. We are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was the forerunner. So now just be encouraged, okay? So when you hear things that might be strange to you, just leave it on the shelf. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will teach you, will show you. And so we're going on. So the scripture said, for the scriptures are there for reproof,
for correction.
For correction.
And
I believe Jesus was a man. That was my strong belief. And I believe that this man was going to come out of heaven and get where heaven is. Where's heaven? He was coming to get me and save me out of this rotten here and now. One day. You know, and I'm sitting there for this man to come. So I've been there. I've done it. I've believed in hell. I believed in all those things. But the wonderful, wonderful teacher, which is the Holy Spirit, is leading me on. And this is much better the way I know now that Christ Jesus is right here. He's nowhere up there. I don't have to wait for him. I'm already complete. I don't have to see him face. I don't have to see him in the flesh now. But there's no need for that. There's no need for him to come back. I know who I am and who he is and where he is and what it is. What is God? Not who is God. The wonderful, wonderful openings that are going to come to you. So we're going to hear some wonderful things today. So we're going to sing this song. It's right in the back because Liz, she fixed it all for me. It wasn't in this book. Behold, I will do something. Can you read that? You know that song? Wendy is our leader now. Yeah. And thank you very much, and then Mike, and just be blessed.
The small print here. Because okay. How does that look?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Wow. What an introduction, Martha. You almost stole my thunder. You'd have kept going. Amazing, isn't it? She hit on quite a few points that we're going to talk about, but we're going to go deeper with these points. And I'm real grateful to be here. We're obviously here because the Spirit drew us together through Tony. So I'm grateful for the man the Spirit has formed, that's in his form. Grateful for that, and for Martha, and for all of you, for Karen, for being so gracious and supplying your place for everybody. And grateful for the opportunity to share. I gave you a little bit of a precursor a couple Sundays ago about what we were going to talk about. And we talked about how each one of us has a concept of ourselves. And we have a concept of others. They're all wrong. You just mark it down. Our concept of ourselves is focused on an entity that doesn't even exist. That's why it's wrong. There's nothing there. So it can never be right. Can't ever be right. So we're going to hit the easy button again, which I like to do every time I talk, because all of us need to enter into meditation with an attitude that we don't know anything. Now, he said, my ways are higher than your ways. So our understanding, we haven't figured it out yet, but all of our understanding is wrong. When he said it's higher, it means you're out of line. Now that's hard to take, isn't it? When we're told we're out of line with everything, it's hard. And it's directional, and if you bear with me, you're going to see why. We're going to tell you why we're out of line. You're going to see it. So if you stay with me through this, you'll get the more detailed answers about that. So we've walked in these concepts, and then we start talking about ourselves, and we say, I do this, and I do that, and I'm this, and I'm that, and, you know, I, me, my, mine, whatever. The list goes on. That identity is the serpent. It's what was formed in Adam's mind when he fell. And so for a man to think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Yeah. So there's the problem. You think you're something. And you talk about the something all the time. And then he says, then he even goes farther, and then he says in Galatians 6:3, for a man that thinks himself, or for any man that thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing. So if you think you know something, you should probably just be quiet. Now, what does that do? Is that prepares the heart to receive that. It opens the mind. So this is to me, it's my key to meditation. And I'm doing it right now by speaking this and knowing it's true. And in Jacksonville, last time Tony was there, it hit me like a ton of bricks that I don't know anything. And then he was starting to ask me if I wanted to start speaking. And I said, well, how can I do that? Because I don't know anything. Well, I didn't understand, you know, obviously. So I just remained quiet. And then he asked to start some meetings, and out it came. And so here we are. And I don't want to tell you anything. I don't want to preach to you. I don't want to tell you something that isn't going to help you. You know, we need to know what life's about. We need to know what the light is. We could just say, you know, the light shine. Well, what good does that do you? What is the light that's shining? And we're going to find out what that is. What is that light? The world, are we going to, is there any way we could put that light back here?
Sure.
Is there a problem? Because this print is not.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, the print's just not popping out at me very well here. I don't want to read it twice, so we want to get moving. So now here we are with these concepts of ourselves and with others, and everybody walked in here with the concept today of yourself that's either promoting you or condemning you, or it's promoting or condemning your neighbor. Just write it down. And if you have trouble with that, just be still. Okay? Because I'm telling you, it's true. And it's been true in my life. I found out I was the accuser of the brethren. The serpent's tongue was speaking through me. And when I saw it, it was very, very humbling. And each one of us has to come to that place in order to be set free from it. If we don't know what it is, then you haven't been set free from it. And so that's why we want to listen and hear, so we can be delivered from what has created this world.
Yeah.
And from the concepts we've had of ourselves and others, judgment has been formed.
Yes.
And in that judgment came the criticism, the concepts, all of these things that are besetting us. So, judgment is a key word, very key word. So I want you to remember that. Righteousness is another key word, and we're going to define them. You're going to know what they mean. It's not going to be a word to you anymore. Judgment was born from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the title of the lesson today is the tree of the knowledge of good. Everybody knows what the evil part is, because we judge everybody all the time with that part. But we don't understand what good judgment is. Good judgment. Wow. We've mistaken it, though, in all of the religious world in Christendom is eating from the good side of the wrong tree.
Yeah.
The good side. It looks like righteousness, it smells like righteousness, but guys, it's not a duck. It isn't righteousness. So we're going to learn what righteousness is. So there are two kinds of wrong judgment. And we've fallen back under this curse of good judgment. This came to me when Tony was calling me up, and he was really concerned about Kathy, a good friend of hers, just passed on. And it's hard. That's hard. But why do we have so much difficulty with seeing people leave this realm? None of us, everyone believes in life after death. And so, but if we stand up here and say there is no death, everybody gets, what are you talking about? There's no death. There is no such thing as death. Everybody believes in life after death, so what's the big deal with this passing on thing? What are we so tormented about with this? And it just weighs us down. And it's coming from our good judgment. It's coming from our good judgment. So, we've got evil judgment, we've got good judgment, but then we're told that we're to judge with righteous judgment. Not the same thing, guys. It's not the same thing. So what is this good judgment? When something new like this comes, we're going to walk through a door today that's going to change everybody in here. I'm promising you that. It's going to change everybody. And when you go through this door, it's going to shut behind us. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes the door hits you in the rear end because you don't want to get out of the way, you know. So what is this good judgment? Well, the good judgment is thinking that there was something wrong with Kathy's friend and that he shouldn't have left us. That's the good judgment. We're judging by appearance. We see this stuff happening around us, and then we say it shouldn't be happening. So we become then embroiled in it. We become part of the problem.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be sick. Good judgment. Good judgment. It's a killer. Because what's wrong with me wishing that none of you have any problems with your health? But we've all got, so we beat this health thing to death. I'm getting tired of it. I'll be honest with you. I hear it about health. There is no such thing as health. There's no such thing as death. And that seems like it's all we're talking about. Is health and death. There's, holy smokes, we're going to get delivered from this stuff. You know, it's just, it's become an epidemic. And so the judgment pulls us back into the sleep realm. And so we get, the good judgment pulls us back into the evil judgment again then. And it's just this cycle of constant judging by what we see. Okay? We're not Christian Science, by the way, okay? I just want to clear that up. We're not that. We have a lot of mentors that came out of that, and there's some flavor of some of that teaching within their messages that I've discovered isn't correct, because we're back to this good judgment thing. If you look at anybody and see something wrong with them, it's your problem, and you become part of their problem. And so there's billions of people walking around this earth, and we're all judging good judgment, and it's what's created this world. And we're never going to get past this world until we're delivered from it, from judging by appearances. And it was the key to Jesus' ministry. Our good judgment is looking for a pattern of blessing. Not right. There's no pattern out there. We're never going to see a pattern out there, guys. If you think you found one, you're wrong. Because this world is going to create problems. Because it's a world of judgment, of good and evil. And it's not righteous judgment. It's going to create problems. So just mark it down and don't be surprised. Why are we surprised? We shouldn't be surprised by this. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, he's also said he's overcome the world, but that doesn't mean the world is changing. It means our understanding of it needs to change. Okay? And how are we going to rise above it? So these patterns are never going to be found. Then we decide we're going to pray. Well, we always pray for protection against the evil, don't we? And we ought to listen to our prayers. While we're praying for protection against the evil, we're promoting the good. Well, keep me from that. And don't let this happen. Don't let that happen. Well, you're speaking it forth. You're making it real. It makes it real. We become, again, part of the problem. And so until we're delivered from this tree of good judgment, which is hidden, we're going to continue to use our concepts of ourselves and others to lay down this path of life that we have. And it's where we're asleep. It's where we need to be awakened. It's darkness. It, and sometimes you can't see it. So, what we need to do is then understand righteous judgment. And to me, probably the key verse I've discovered over the last few months, since October, is understanding what righteous judgment is. We don't understand what judgment is. Most people are going to think if you hear the word judgment, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not good. Mm. But I've been in front of a judge a few times, and sometimes it's been good. It isn't always bad. I mean, it sort of surprises you because your emotions get all tied up in it, and you're nervous. And my wife was with me one time, and oh my gosh, you know. And of course, we thought something was wrong with us because we're getting sued. Well, that's a good judgment. There's nothing wrong with us. There isn't anything unspiritual about us that's creating this dilemma. We can't control everybody else. We can't make them conform. And there's no question that ultimately and universally we rise to a higher place and we start to escape these things. But we don't escape them by saying they shouldn't happen. We escape them by not seeing them anymore and not judging them anymore and not speaking them forth anymore. That's how we escape it. By not telling somebody they shouldn't be sick. Because if you listen to another tape, maybe you wouldn't get a cold. Okay? That's not true. None of that's true. That's condemnation. That's condemnation. Okay? So, my father, your father, judges no man about anything. Full stop. He judges righteous judgment. Well, what is righteous judgment? We got some beautiful verses in Psalms, and I'm not going to read them all because I got a lot of information we got to push through here. This is what the Father says about his declaration over everyone in this room. Let's just talk about everybody in the room right now, okay? Let's just limit it to that. Don't worry about your neighbor or whatever problems that you brought in here with you, with your concepts, okay? Let's just talk about everybody in this room. Everyone in here has been made righteous. Not by anything you've done, not by anything you can do, or you will do. You have been declared righteous by the King Dog, God, the Father, the main guy. He has said, you're righteous. But you want to argue with that? And here's where he says it. He said, I will judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister righteousness in the people in uprightness. Uprightness. That's good. Right? He is judging us in uprightness. That, there's something wrong with you, Mike. Or there's something wrong with you, Martha. So if I have a problem with you about anything, it's my problem. It's my judgment. Or about anybody. It's my concept that's off. So be still. Okay? And we've got to realize that this is what Christ died for. So you're forgiven. Okay, it's safe to let it out, to let it come out and realize it's there. But we've got to know what righteous judgment is. So in Psalms 96:13, he says, before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth. Oh my gosh, we're cowering, we're waiting for the hammer, aren't we? He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Before the Lord he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes, isn't that good news?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel right now? Equity. Everybody knows what equity is. So we're all into cash. You are judged with equity by him who judges no man. Judges no man. He doesn't look down and say, and I believe me, I've checked this out. He doesn't look down and say, Mike, looks like you're having a problem today. You know? I'll come to him with the problem. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. This is your deal. Because I felt heaviness. And with Kathy, felt heaviness when her friend left. We don't like it. Graham has just left us. Liz left us a couple of years ago. We don't like those things. We don't like them because of our good judgment. That's why we don't like them. That's why the joy has left. That's where the joy gets sucked up in our good judgment. It gets taken away. As I mean, I was excited when I first heard this man speak. I almost thought it wasn't real. And he's all the way across the world. And I'm listening to Law of Attraction. And I'm sitting in the San Diego hotel at a show, because we go to a lot of shows with our business. And this thing come over me, and I found out that God doesn't judge anybody, and he doesn't reward anybody, and he doesn't punish anybody. Full stop. Well, that's what I heard then. But then, the good judgment started creeping in and stealing my joy away from me. So I was doing pretty good with the evil part, you know, shutting my mouth. Not completely. I mean, she could tell you maybe a couple things. So I remember looking out my hotel window and saying, she's not my enemy and he's not my enemy and they're not my enemy, just in my spirit. And it just shocked me, because at the time, right before that, I believed they were the sheep and the goats, and the goats were going to be like tormented, right? And if you weren't in my group, in this group, you were a goat. Talk about judgment. Holy smoke. Wouldn't matter what you did there. You know? So my father judges no man. So the definition of judgment is a final declaration of unlimited, unconditional love. His grace has been applied to all with no respecter of persons. You've been cleaned up. You've been made right. There's nothing more you can do. So just relax. Just relax. And if your mouth starts blabbing a bunch of garbage, well, you're forgiven. You know, it's okay. It's all right. That's what Christ died with. He took the serpent down. Took him right down. John 16. He says, judgment's done with because the prince of this world has been judged. What's the prince of the world? Mm-hmm. Our misunderstanding. And then out from it our tongue speaks. Either evil or good. Now, I've always thought about a good, maybe, you know, we'll start a group of how we can walk old ladies across the street. You know? Well, that's not a bad thing, is it? But boy, if you weren't part of it, something's wrong with you, see? That's good judgment. It's an example of good judgment. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man who he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. Well, there's dead. He's raised him from the dead. There's no more death. And no more judgment. Righteous judgment is pure. It's undefiled. Has nothing to do with appearances. It's a declaration. It's a declaration. And we've sort of, you know, obviously we moved away from that in the garden, each one of us. Nothing can be added to you to make you more righteous. Not a thing. And I'm quoting Joel Goldsmith right now. He says, nothing can be added to you. You are already that place in consciousness through which infinity is pouring. That's what you are already. In the realm Kathy talked to us about last year, he said, we are the invisible ones. See, our righteousness is already pouring forth from us in the faith realm, which is the realm that doesn't judge by what it sees. In any capacity. So the key to Christ's ministry, and to me, the key verse, the most important verse in Scripture right now to me, is Isaiah 11:3. And it says, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Well, why did he say that first? Because that's what Adam started to do when he fell. That's what he started to do. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. And reproof with equity for the meek. There's that word equity again. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Well, who are the wicked? Those that judge by evil and good. That's the wicked. That's the serpent's tongue. Well, he's judging that by saying you're righteous. You're righteous. That's his judgment of it, see? And it melts the wickedness in our lives. This is what gave him quick understanding. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. He's faithful in continuing to declare you righteous. It's never going to change. And in Hebrews we saw that he swore by himself. I remember Kathy's words last year. He said, thank God for God. Because he came and made it right. I don't care where you're at, what you're a member of, you're never going to get more holy than you are right now. You're never going to be more holy. Because if it doesn't exist now, it doesn't exist. It has to exist right now. Because now's the time of salvation. There isn't any other now. It's not going to happen tomorrow because it won't get here. And it isn't going to help you either. I need it now. I need some help right now. I need help now. Now is when I get tormented. Now is when I get frustrated. I want it now. Now that doesn't sound too good, but this is a good thing to want now, okay? Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Jesus said, ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Now, what do we got going on here? Here's Jesus running around, healing people. Well, who was he healing? The people that were looking for a sign. They were there for the loaves and fishes. We got great parables about that. That 10 of them healed and only one of them appreciated it. So what good does it do to get healed if you're going to get sick again? Walter Lanyon says you might as well just die and get it over with. So if you're trying, if you're looking for healing, it's good judgment. Stop it. There is no such thing as health. Stop looking for it. Just do whatever you feel that you have to do, and if somebody judges you for what you're doing, they're out of line. If you want to go see the doctor, go see the doctor. But I mean, we've got to realize it's not anybody's fault that you're fighting a mesmerism that's in thousands and millions of people. You can't fight that, guys, and win. You can't win that battle. The whole world's into health. And they're afraid of losing their health. But Jesus said we have to lose our life in order to find it. We have to lose our health in order to find it. Quit seeking your health. Don't focus on it. That's hard to say with some people. You know, we have a great example in Kathy, but there's no patterns. There's no patterns. It doesn't matter that many people have come behind it and it hasn't worked the same way, Martha. It's okay. Because it's not real. It's not reality. And the thing, I read all of Kathy's book, and there's just one statement I remember, which I'm not saying it wasn't true, the rest of it, but there was just one statement that I remember. And that's when she said, I finally realized it doesn't matter whether I get healed or not. That's what sets you free. It doesn't matter. You step out of the judgment world. We step out of it. Now, I'm not saying to be reckless, but I've been too concerned about this body long enough. It doesn't matter what happens to my body. Now, I'm not going to run around and start chain smoking and taking LSD. And you're going to find out why I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to do that. Because we're going to go even deeper now. Okay, so now everybody's cleaned up, aren't they? Is everybody cleaned up?
Yeah.
Right? You can't get cleaner. Alright? And don't believe man. Don't believe what any man says to you. Okay? If you're hearing that in any of the messages, including mine, don't believe it. Because we speak words sometimes, and sometimes they don't line up, you know? Sometimes it's hard. So there's no condemnation with any of it. God didn't say, let's create man in his own image. See, we got that all wrong, didn't we? That's what we think. He says, let's create him in our image. Well, here we're back to the concepts again, aren't we? Huh? See, our concept is our own image of ourselves. It's got to die. This is the thing that has to die every day. And I haven't got to a place yet where I don't have to keep saying this every day. Now, if you've got there, then tell us how you do it. Okay? I haven't found a formula yet. But I have to keep continually reminding myself that I don't know anything, I can't do anything, and that the righteous, I don't even feel righteous. I feel ornery sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you, dear. That doesn't change anything. I'm judging myself. You know? So we're going to move beyond praying. We're going to move beyond this phantom man that judges good judgment. We want to get rid of that thing today. We want everybody to know what it is. Okay? There's nothing wrong with your family. Who's the person you like the least? There's nothing wrong with him. It's your perception of him that makes him who he is. Your perception. And we have trouble with that. Because there's a lot of terrible things out in the world that by appearances don't look so good, guys. But how will we escape it? How can we escape it? By withdrawing our judgment of it. That's how we escape it. And don't try to say it shouldn't be there. That's the problem. We step away from it. We see through it. We see righteousness just on the other side of this dream fabric, this illusion that's giving us a wrong picture. It's just a wrong picture, guys. It's not reality. Now, if somebody's deceived, it means that it's all an illusion. Now, I know some people have had trouble with hearing some of that. I've heard that some people that are part of this fellowship have trouble with that. Well, friends, if you're deceived, then your concepts are an illusion. That's what makes the illusion. That's what's formed this world, is all the people running around that are judging by what they see. So it's the very first thing that Adam did, and the first thing he did, start blaming his wife. Well, I'm for that. It's this woman you gave me. Then he said he was afraid. God died for the ungodly, and he's kind to the unthankful and unbelieving. Are we kind to the unthankful and unbelieving? We aren't, because of our good judgment. Because we think somebody shouldn't be unthankful. And then become embroiled in the unthankfulness. Okay? You can't deny nothing. You can't step into a situation and say it exists and then say it's not real. You can't deny nothing. If you deny it, you're saying it's real. So we've been set right. We've been made righteous. But then we start judging the hell out of it. And I literally mean that. No, we really start judging the hell back into it. It's what we do. This is what happened to me. It happened to me. Over 2 years ago, I'm flying high. Listen to Tony Denhart talk. And I mean, it should have never changed if my understanding was correct. Okay? It should have never changed. That joy, where's the joy at? The joy gets sucked away through this elusive thing of us looking out and thinking, this shouldn't be this way. This is out of order. That's out of order. Nothing is out of order in the kingdom of God. That kingdom is within you. So we let go of our concepts of ourselves, and we become selfless. Instead of selfish, selfless. Last year I talked about that there's no me. And so we're going to move into that now. We must realize that our neighbor isn't the problem. And we're to love our neighbor, not judge our neighbor. Love the neighbor. Not look at the neighbor and say, there's something wrong with you. In any capacity, we're to love the neighbor. Now, my mind started to change about this just a few weeks ago when I got a different perspective. And I remember reading the passages now of when Jesus said, and I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. And I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was sick and you came to visit me. And I looked over at my wife. She had gotten a cold, and it was a pretty severe nasal deal. It was upper respiratory. And I looked over at her and she was as white as this paper. And she did not look good. And the Father said to me, Mike, I am not feeling too well. He said, I'm not feeling too well. And immediately I went over to her and asked her what was wrong. In love, not stick in a tape, not listen to a CD so you can become more spiritual and your cold will go away. I said, what can I do for you, my love? How can I help you? And so I ran out and got one of these bottles that you put saline solution in so we could get her head. She almost wasn't able to breathe. And we cleaned out her head, and I got her some decongestant so it dried it up so she could sleep that night. She had a good rest. And she woke up, and almost all of it was gone the next day. Now, there wasn't anything wrong with her because she experienced that. There were 30 people at work that had colds. Well, you can't fight everybody's mesmerism of sickness. We can't do that, okay? And so it's going to touch us sometimes. Now, I believe universally that there is no such thing as disease and there's no such thing as death. Okay? But the reason it's there is because of our judgment of it. That's why it's there. Because we're making it real by judging it either evil or good. It's both sides of it are giving it reality. So what do we do when we see it? Just listen to the person you're ministering to and ask them what they want. Don't tell them something's wrong with them. What can I do for you? I said, my love. What can I do to help you? This is loving your neighbor. That's loving your neighbor. Not judging your neighbor. Just love. Just love them. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. He judges no man, so neither should you, in any capacity. Full stop. No judgment. And if you've got frustration in your life and anxiety and heaviness, every time I've asked the Father, where's this coming from? He says it's your problem and it's coming from your judgment. It's coming from your judgment, whether it be good or evil. He said it's coming from my judgment. And he told me this several times. It's coming from your judgment. If frustration and anxiety is welling up in us, it means something in our understanding is out of balance. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with the person we're looking at. And again, I've got a brother that's hard to live with, buddy. I'm going to give you a couple tools on how to deal with that when we get later, on how we prepare ourselves for those things, because it can really help. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king. And instead of reading all this passage, I'm going to talk to you about it. A guy was thrown in front of the king because he owed him 10,000 talents. Well, back then, he'd never been able to pay it off. That's how big the debt was. And he said, have mercy on me, O king. And he said, yeah, you know what the heck. I'm going to do it once today, you know, for the people. And have mercy on you. And he forgave him the debt.
Huge debt.
Couldn't be paid. Well, the guy turned around not too long after that, and somebody owed him some money. Just a little bit. 10 talents. And he grabbed him and demanded the money from him and had him thrown in jail. Here is an example of our good judgment. Here's an example of judging others. We don't realize that your concept of yourself and your concept of others is hypocritical. It's always hypocritical. It will say with its mouth, I don't experience this or that. But if you look deeper, they're experiencing the same thing at a different level. They just don't particularly see it. But whatever judgment goes out from you comes back to you. Tony talked last night about the ball bouncing back to you. Okay, whatever you send out comes back to you. If you're seeing something wrong in your neighbor to any capacity, You're making it alive in your own experience. It becomes alive to you. And so we want to go in with compassion, not judgment. No matter how we're dealing with people, it's always in love and compassion. So Jesus gave us two commands. We've got our marching orders. Here it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What's really interesting is when Jesus talked about a neighbor, he said, this is my commandment. Because what we just read, those two commandments are the same. If you're loving your neighbor, you're loving the Father. Everybody in here knows that. There's 100 verses that says we're one. If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And when Peter came, or when Paul came and was knocked off his horse onto the ground, Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? So then Jesus said, and this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I've loved you. So he just made it simpler, because they're the same, to love one another. Well, we love one another by not judging each other. That's just where it begins. How can you love somebody if you're judging them? And we, like Tony said last night, we start at home. Just start with a close friend, or go to find the person that frustrates you, you know, and practice it. Go in there ready. You know, it's like an octopus having tentacles. Loving kindness, joy. You just can't wait to apply it to something. You want to just get right a hold of it. Doesn't matter how hungry it is. If you're ready, if you're anticipating loving somebody, and you're going in with that, it's pretty easy. Because that's what you are. You are the love of God. That's your true identity. You already are this love. You say, oh, that's hard. Well, if you're saying that's hard, and you're saying it's hard not to judge, it means we're ignorant in those areas. And we should be quiet then. We should be still. I love my grandma's statement. I mean, and she lived this. She said, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything. Well, that's pretty doggone righteous. Isn't it? Don't say anything. And don't tell them something's wrong with them. See through the sickness. We're not ignoring it, folks. We're not going to ignore it. But we're going to see the person for who they are. And that's the way God sees them. God doesn't see the sickness. We've preached that. That's the message of this ministry. The Father doesn't see any of that stuff. So why in the heck are we doing it? If we are the Father manifest, why are we doing it? Here is a really key verse. And if you don't hear anything I've said, I want you to hear this. In the same book, in John, Jesus says, and I know his commandment is life everlasting. Wow. To love your neighbor is life everlasting. Because the love flows out. Life flows out from you continually. Never in judgment. Is life everlasting. To know him is life eternal. To know your neighbor is to know him. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, guess who yourself is? It's not you, there's no me. You're myself. Liz, you're myself. I'm to love you as I love myself. That's what it means. It doesn't say try. It means realize this is yourself here. So that's why what Tony was saying last night and Lanyon's saying, that's why the ball bounces back, because you're judging your neighbor, you're judging yourself. And you're judging God. And you're judging the Father. Well, how am I going to get away with that? You can't. You can't. You can't get away with it, see? That's why it says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Jamie, Christmas, isn't that something? That's why it says it. If you can't give forgiveness, you don't know what it is. Isn't that crazy? Shocks me, I'll tell you. I hear this stuff, I'm going, holy smokes. And it's been working up in me the last month, okay? I'm just learning this stuff, guys. And it's purity, right? We've said all these words. We've read the verses to death. We don't know what they mean. Oh, I'm tired of that stuff. I want to know what they mean. I want set free. And if I don't feel joy inside and I'm frustrated, I want to know why. Lisa says, Mike, I'm real happy with you. The Father says, I'm happy with you. What's your problem? I just think you're wonderful. Now, it's okay for God to say that to me, right? And Kathy said last year, it's never okay for you to say it. You say it to this person, or this person. That's you. You're me. Liz, you're righteous. And I don't care what I see you doing. I'm going to continue to see you in righteousness and tell you, not your humanity, even though there really is one. There really isn't one. We got to start talking a little less about that too, okay? Because we try to blame our humanity for our ignorance, okay? There is no human being. But we're back to God create man in his own image again. There is no such thing. So let's quit talking about it. Let's quit judging by it. Quit judging yourself. Quit blaming your ignorance on your humanity. Geez, what a spiral that is. It's like a tornado. You know, there's nothing wrong with you because there's nothing wrong with your neighbor. They work together. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? I feel it right now. I feel the energy of that right now. I feel it working right now in everybody here. I can feel it. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Oh my gosh, there's the key to righteousness. Righteousness, it says, is loving your brother. There's the definition right there. Not judging your brother. There's the definition of righteousness. God's made you right. Well, you're going to be like the guy that got forgiven for 10,000 talents and you're going to go grab your neighbor because he owes you 10? Are you going to do that? That says he was cast in outer darkness where there was gnashing of teeth. That's what happens. We step back into hell. Man, the son of a buck, he ripped me off, you know. Well, we forgot. We just got forgiven for 10,000 K. Okay? We forgot that, didn't we? Okay. I'm going to read another passage from Joel. It's called Spiritual Illumination. Reveals that we are not mortals, not even human beings, but that we are pure spiritual being. We are divine consciousness. self-sustaining life, all-inclusive mind. This light destroys the illusions of personal sense. There is no me. Destroys that. Illumination dissolves all material ties and binds men together with the golden chains of spiritual understanding. It has no ritual or rule, but divine, impersonal, universal love. No other worship than the inner flame that has ever lit at the shrine of spirit takes place. This union is the free state of spiritual brotherhood. This is where freedom reigns. This is where freedom reigns when you're loving your neighbor. The only restraint is the discipline of the soul. Therefore, we know liberty without license. We are a united universe without physical limits, a divine service to God without ceremony or creed. The illumined walk without fear because they walk by grace. If you're busy loving your neighbor, you haven't got time to get afraid about stuff.
Interesting.
Because you're focusing on who's ever next to you. You're not thinking about you. I know to know that we are the fulfillment of God, that we are that place in consciousness where God shines through, is to be spiritually minded. The realization that every individual is the presence of God. So we see through the appearances, we see through the dream fabric, through the illusion that's come into this world through judgment. We see through it and see who they really are. This is what delivers us and is what's going to change the face of the earth. This is righteousness. This is the light of the world. This is the light shining. This is it. It's shining. In this, you become the light of the world to all who come in your path. The soul of you is your neighbor. The soul of you is your salvation. To love your neighbor is your salvation. Because that's where you're going to receive. You're going to receive as it's flowing through you. That's how you feel it, because it's flowing. It isn't stopped up in judgment. See, so that's what stops the flow. That's where the frustration comes from. Is there some judgment somewhere? Just be still and go ask the Father. He'll tell you. I'm guaranteeing you, he'll tell you right away. The very understanding that God is all that there is, and this is the dwelling place of love, means there is no other life. The scripture taught us to lay down one's life. Okay, we're going to go higher than that. We're going to go higher than praying for your enemies. That's what Jesus taught to the unspiritual. They thought everybody was your enemy. If you were a Jew, you didn't like anybody. So pray for your enemies. God doesn't have any enemies, folks. We don't pray for our enemies anymore. We don't have any. There is none. Does God have an enemy? No. So we've got to realize that the New Testament was written at a time that was transitional, guys. They were trying to get people out of the law. So they were dealing with the law left and right. And that's where the healing ministry came from. Okay? People just wanted their infirmities gone. They didn't really want him. Nobody did. They just wanted to be healed. Well, if that's all you want, is that really all you want? Just to get rid of something? I hope we're above that. I hope we're higher than that. So he taught that we were to lay down our life, but as we move higher in consciousness, we find out that there was never really a life that needed to be laid down. What a relief that is to me. There's nothing to lay down. It's all over. Christ died as the last Adam. So we just get our minds untwisted in righteous judgment. Righteous judgment will be delivered. It's going to take a little bit of work, you know, a little bit of seeing. But it's good news. And so I believe that this is the teaching that Martha's been talking about. To me, this is the whirlwind from the south. It's non-judgment. And it's more than words. It is life eternal. Yeah. It is life eternal. Isn't that crazy? He said, this command is life everlasting, to love your neighbor as yourself. Because there's no me. There's just you. I'm just going to see you for who you are. That's what I'm going to do. And this gal started to feel it, I'm telling you. She knows it. It's changed our marriage. Because I'm there for her, not for me. And I was mixing a drink the other night and it caught me. Not a cocktail, sorry. Just a little thing we take. And I was tired. I said, I'm tired. I'm going to mix this thing and run to bed. But I knew she needed one too. Well, no. I'm going to make this for her. And it's going to be the best one. I'm going to give her the bigger shake, okay? I used to fight as a kid over, he got more than me, Mom! And in just in that function, the peace of God came over me while making a doggone shake. Now, how simple is that? Isn't that, that sounds silly, doesn't it? But the truth came over me. Because my selfishness said, I'm tired. No, you're not tired. Go make the shake for your wife. She needs this. Love your wife. And it's working, isn't it, honey? It's working. It's working. Okay, that's it.
Well, you know, the levels are coming up higher, aren't we, really?
Yeah.
That's what it says in the scriptures. Come up hither, and I will show you things.
Yeah.
But eye has not seen, and ear has not heard. Neither has it ever entered into the heart of man, the things that God is revealing to us by His Spirit. So, we're going to have a little break.
Yeah.
And we're coming back, what, it's now...
Quarter of an hour, only quarter of an hour.
Uh-huh.
Wilfred, or can you switch on the switch?
Yeah.